Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Tahir Moore.
And I'm Patrick Cloud.
And this is another episode of Damn, Internet, You're Scary.
We back in the studio.
Hey, man, very limited.
Well, I guess this isn't really the studio anymore, huh?
No, we got a... we're
going to keep this one, too. Oh, it's both?
Yeah, we're going to keep all three locations. So we'll keep Transit, the original, keep this one, and then the new warehouse, too. So probably one of... This would be like for...
So we're in one-third.
Yeah.
We're in one-third of the operation.
That's crazy as hell to think that, like, that's what we're doing and building.
Hey. I
and everybody got their own stuff too. Pat did a stream last night from 7 to 10 on a video game, partnered with a company. They're paying him.
Dude, you're getting
paid to play video games.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
I would have never thought in school this is what I would be doing. Or that's what someone would be doing.
And what's crazy about that is we shot since 10 a.m. that day. And I remember I took the break. We did the 21 questions for on Damn Internet, You Scary. Shout out to everybody who showed up for that.
It was a lot of fun too, guys.
It was a lot of fun. And then that was over at 6, and then my stream was from 7 to 11. So it was kind of like a 12, 13 hour with a couple
breaks.
But it still didn't feel like work afterwards. Yeah. You know, it was like tired, but it wasn't like how a, you know, I assume like a miner gets home.
Yeah, it's crazy because you, like when I film, like today's going to be a long day. We're going to shoot this right here, then we have to shoot Squadcast right after this, and then we're going to try to shoot 3 or 4 episodes of Chit Chat and Cereal. Then I have to Zoom with the homies after that. Like, trying to keep the energy up, especially as a host, I'm exhausted at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, I'm spent. So, I don't know how you did yesterday, because that was fucking intense. He told me before we did when we were setting up the 21 questions, he told me he was gonna be filming all day. I was like, how the fuck? I was like, you wanna do it Saturday? He's like, nah, I pushed through. I was like, all right.
Ain't enough days, man.
But it's not, dude.
It's fun. It's fun. But as you guys can see, we're live today.
Yeah.
We are in person, risking the Rona.
I don't know how long we're gonna be able to do these in person until things really settle down. So when we can do it, we try to take advantage of it. And you know, the energy is definitely different. I had to shoot a couple of Working This Hard virtually with people, and it was still great. But the energy is always different in person. So
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm glad that we got it off though.
But in terms of the genres, you guys are putting a lot of good ones in. New Orleans Bounce, old school hip hop. The one I've never seen before was from Kiyomi, Lullaby.
I saw that.
Never seen that before.
Yeah.
It doesn't even really come across as a genre, so that's very interesting.
I'm up for trying.
I am too.
I'm definitely up for trying. So I like that. And Kiyomi was one of the guests on 21 Questions yesterday, which would have been Sunday because we filmed this on Monday. So I'm up for trying Lullaby. If you want to.
Do you know any lullabies besides Rockabye, baby?
You know what's so crazy? That's exactly where I went first. Bum, 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 bum.
That's not Rockabye, baby. What is that? That's not Rockabye, baby.
It's not?
No, Rockabye, baby, on the tree.
Oh, shit, what was I humming?
I don't know. That's another one, though. Go to sleep, little baby, do-do-do. And Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Those I guess we do know a couple.
Yeah, I guess we do know a lot of lullabies.
Oh, that was Go to Sleep. Okay. Say goodnight, go to sleep, little baby.
Okay, I'll do the beat.
Oh, shit. All right, here it is. Intro song, Lullaby Style, thanks to Kiyomi. We gonna give this a try. All right, here we go. Pass on the beat.
All right, I'm gonna take you guys back to 2000 when people had random baby noises on the track. Bling, bling, bling. Bling, bling, bling. Bling, 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 bling. Bling, bling, bling. Bling, bling, bling. Bling, bling, bling. Bling, 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 bling,
Here we go. Bling, bling. Let it come around. Bling, 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 bling. Say goodnight. Turn on your nightlight. And turn on the internet. Watch some podcasts. Bling, bling, bling. And don't get the bed wet. Watch some mouse. Eaten by cats. And watch a dog chew on the bed. Watch a freaky girl named Mary scream out them internet you scary.
I sounded way more like Elmo.
You sound like Elmo with a smoker's cough.
As soon as I said it, I was like, have I ever imitated a baby? I was like, I don't even know what to do.
I had to get out of there fast. I was like, I felt this is about to go bad. So let me hurry up and hit this eject. All right, Mary and Scary, we're out.
Every now and then there's a dairy.
Somebody said, here comes the Mary. You goddamn right. You know it's coming. Shit. Had to
tickle, get me, out of there. Tickle me, Patrick dolls will not happen. I'm sorry.
Tickle me, Patrick is hilarious, dog.
All right, man. Lot happening.
A lot.
There is a lot happening.
It's going on, bro.
Before we get to the obvious, I want to talk about something that is very, very much prominent in, I wouldn't even say the black community. I just I would just say the community, period, in terms of sex. Choking women during sex.
Yes.
For some reason in high school. Or I don't know, when you first hear about it, you're just like, well, you do that? Oh, that's crazy. But then growing up, it's almost like every woman wants that.
Everything is taboo as a child, bro.
Even these girls.
Remember?
The shy girls.
Remember when, I don't know if it was like that when you were coming up. When I was coming in high school, eating the box was definitely frowned upon. She could suck my name, but I ain't eating no Gucci. It was like, I never understood it. I thought that was kind of one-sided and very misogynistic, and to be frank. But a lot of people, I saw this on Twitter, thank Lil Wayne for normalizing eating a box.
Remember that.
Yeah, he was one of the first rappers that really pushed forward. He was one of the first rappers we saw mainstream with the face tattoos, with the piercings, the eyebrows, all of that. He normalized a lot. Lil Wayne, before he got crazy, was a trendsetter in a lot of different ways, bro.
It was right before the lime green Uggs in YOLO. I think that was the time we were just like, you know, I think I'm my own person now. When Truck Fit came out, we were like, all right, Wayne. Because before Truck Fit, I was in high school. It was Lil Wayne and Pharrell.
Yeah, that was it.
That's who taught you how to dress. That's who taught you the style, the eclectic stuff. Then there was like the other stuff. But yeah, then there was that cutoff limit where you're like, I think I'm grown now.
But now, like, it is so common. And so, especially as adults, like now it's like, I mean, get the consent first. You like, even if it's just verbal, you ask, like, so do you like to be choked? You're like, yeah. One hand or two. It's like, well, two if you're hitting it from the back, one if you're on top, missionary style. Fellas, there is a technique to choking. You want to choke on the sides. Don't crush the windpipe. You put too much pressure on the windpipe.
Just the webs,
guy. Yeah, just right here.
If you do this, you're a psychopath.
This
is unnecessary.
There's proper ways to do everything, even with pulling the hair. Like, if someone has long hair, try to grip all the hair and twist and then pull, so that way it's like an even pull. Because if you just grab a hair,
pulling hair like a key,
you can pull the hair off. So it's proper ways to do all of this type of stuff. But also, just have the conversation. Don't try to bust out, like, debut new moves and you ain't had the conversation with the person. Like, it's have the conversation. Make sure
that's a funny way of putting it, because you do. It does feel like a debut, because unless you're just creative in the moment, you're like, let me try this. It's more than likely something you saw in porn that you're like, I'm going to break this out. I'm going to try it. It's funny, debut, because it is going on in the dude's head right before he's like, oh, I'm going to try this.
I'm going to try it.
To anybody who may be watching in the UK, what Tahir said was absolutely right, because for some reason, choking during sex without consent may now be illegal under new domestic abuse law in UK.
Oh, snap.
Which is it's pretty insane, right? But I mean, it makes sense. But like he said, it's way better to ask before.
Absolutely.
Way before. Don't
have
ask
a conversation.
Don't ask him during sex. That's weird. Like, can I choke you?
Stroke him, be like,
can I choke you?
Can I choke you? Like, what? Can I pull out a little pressure?
yeah, there's a lot of ways to look crazy during this, which is why we need the woman's help. You know, it'd be nice if you guys speak up, maybe even do it yourself. But it says choking during sex without consent may be considered illegal during a new domestic abuse law in the UK. Lawmakers are currently proposing for the sexual act to become a specific criminal offense after new evidence shows that 1 in 5 sexual assault victims are strangled by their partner.
That's crazy, because I always thought that stabbing somebody was the most, like, heinous crime of passion. But I guess choking is pretty...
It's always that.
Yeah.
Whenever there's so many, I mean, according to the weird TV crime dramas that I'd be watching, but it's like they're always found strangled. And I think that is, you would think that a stab would be super weird, but like for you to just do it and like, they always say the same thing, like, I want to see the light go off.
It's like, that's weird.
What?
That's weird. That's very weird, bro, that you think like that.
Insanity. But it says that right now, choking is only punishable under common assault law and carries a maximum of 6 months behind bars. Maybe that's why they do it. But however, protesters say that domestic abusers are rarely ever prosecuted, as they claim their violent choking and throttling are part of consensual sex play. The critically acclaimed series 50 Shades of Grey have only heightened the play. And I do remember there was like, I forget what year that came out, but there was like a weird shift in sexual aggression when that
dropped.
Man,
that book and that movie did things to people. They was like, you know what? Maybe I do like being spat on. Maybe, you know, a little slapping here and there. All I would say.
All the housewives were like, I would like to try these things.
All I would say is make sure you get that consent. Make sure it is consensual. Because the last thing you want to do is take a gamble on getting some sexy time. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you want to gamble, there's ways that you can gamble. You know, you could do something like the World Series of Poker.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
You could download that on your phone and you could play that anytime you want to. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever watched the World Series of Poker on TV and dream what it's like to win big like the pros, but I play on my phone. I get into it, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead and throw these on real quick.
Oh, those are poker glasses?
This is it.
Let me see the poker face. It's pretty good.
That's it. Just no emotion at all. Y'all know I lie a lot, so my face can do a lot of that too. I'm going to be honest with you, though. I'm not good at it. I've been trying to do Texas Hold'em.
Oh, that's yours? That's the mode you play?
That's my game.
Bro. I actually just started playing that.
Not one yet.
Well, that's what's dope about the app is you can kind of come into it as a novice. You think that the only people that play these are like the ones that be in illegal gambling rigs every night, smoking cigarettes, doing crazy amounts of gambling, and it's really not. Like, it's pretty easy. And I just got tired of seeing the phrase Texas Hold'em and not knowing what it was. But it's actually pretty easy. I learned through the app. You pretty much get to like build your hand as you go. But it's pretty dope. I won $50.
Oh, well, look
at
you.
And I'm trash.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, guys, the official World Series of Poker app lets you play real-time poker with poker fans from around the world. You get to hone your hold'em skills, all right, and in virtual cash games and tournaments, play in casino mode, and go up against the house. Or you can connect with Facebook account and set up a virtual table with your friends. So it has multiple possibilities for you to get better at honing your skills. And it's as close to the real thing as you can get without the $10,000 buy-in. Oof. That's what's really kept me
going. I was scared, yeah.
I'm going to tell you what. I've been to Vegas with somebody that really gambles. And when you really gamble, they lay out the house for you. They will provide you a driver. They'll put you in a villa, all of that time. Mm-hmm. When you're spending big bucks, I'm talking about $100,000 or more, they lay out the red carpet. However, when you're doing on World Series of Poker, you can lay on your own carpet. You don't have to go nowhere. And you don't have to risk losing $100,000, real dollars, okay? Mm-hmm. The World Series of Poker app is a great way to improve your poker skills, and it is free to download. So if you're tired of social distancing, now you can easily set up a virtual poker game with your friends as the number one poker game. World Series of Poker always has tons of players online to match up against whenever you want to play. Mm-hmm. Be on the lookout for all the crazy and fun events coming up around the holidays, too. Best of all, you get to get 1 million chips as a bonus gift when you join today. That's right, a million chips. So what's the holdup? Download World Series of Poker app right now in the Apple App Store or on Google Play and Amazon Now. And don't forget to use our promo code World Series of Poker DIYS for 1 million bonus chips when you sign up. Again, the promo code is actually WSOPDIYS, and that'll get you 1 million bonus chips when you download World Series of Poker app and use the promo code WSOPDIYS.
Mm-hmm. We all know how happy Tahir gets when he gets a million chips. It's not his first rodeo.
That's when I won the Lays championship. Had a million plain, a million lightly salted, a little.
He won that and he was like, what cards? No, I didn't play no cards.
Oh goodness, that's good.
All right, so man, there's no way to not talk about what's going on.
Absolutely.
On Capitol Hill.
We have to address it.
So there's obviously the real stuff, which is the Democrats filing an impeachment article accusing Trump of inciting attack on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually might happen. That would be very interesting. But the stuff that people aren't talking about enough is the fact that they found that the rioters smeared poop and pee everywhere.
Bro, they were wilding out. They were wilding out.
Huh? How did that not break the first day, first of all? But what? I mean,
it was other pressing items, like people actually dying at this riot. Let's be honest, man.
This was
an act of domestic terrorism.
Yes.
That is exactly what it was. Riot is what they were calling what people were doing when we were protesting in just of us having justice and liberty and life and not getting killed by the police.
Mm-hmm.
Rioting is that was going in stores and potentially taking stuff like this. Someone was killed. All right. Actually, multiple people would have died from this.
Mm-hmm.
They were defiling government property.
One of the guards killed themselves afterwards.
Yeah,
too.
I read that too, bro. It was so much going on, dog. Like this, obviously we've never seen anything like this. We've never had a president like Trump. We never had a president that sides willingly and openly on the side of violence and contention and racism. And it is just ridiculous to see in a crazy time to be alive right now. I also want to point out the Stripe, which is a processing company that processes Trump's payments for his campaign website. They quit him. After everything that happened on Capitol Hill, it's like, bro, we can't be attached.
Wow.
When you can't get no money no more.
Wait, they process his payments?
They process his payments. So, like, when you go through the Trump campaign website and people donate money, this was the company that was processing those payments.
Wow.
They was like, yeah, we good, fam. You go ahead and take your little money, try PayPal now.
Wow.
And people would donate bad bread. So imagine, like, if a company is like, we don't even want that money, we're good.
You know what it is? I think that we're just finally like seeing what these weirdos in the comments were capable of this whole time. You know what I mean? Like when BLM was happening, they were in the comments like BLM, blah 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 blah. We saw glimpses of them with Karens and all these people tearing down BLM. But like, this is what they did when they were at their most upset. And I feel like it wasn't called a terrorist act because it was so weird and stupid looking. And
no, it wasn't called a terrorist act because they were white.
But they were on some weirdo shit. And yeah, they were let in and they're smearing poop everywhere. And it's like, but then it's like, okay, obviously this is a Capitol building and people were killed. So this is a terrorist attack. But these people are really on some weirdo shit.
I'm going to be honest with you
poop
guys.
Poop and pee?
Even before this happened, probably around the time that Trump was elected, I started to look at the American flag and feel some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And not patriotic, but more like the symbol didn't have the same relevance as it had when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And that could be like you get older, you learn the truth, and you realize what the country was really big on. But also it's like I almost see the American flag the same way I see the Southern Rebel flag. Like,
it's gotten that bad?
To me, it is. Because, like, you know what that represents. You know that Trump with like all of his fans, the Proud Boys and all of that, America and all of that. Like they are wrapping themselves in Trump banner flags and American flag. Mm-hmm. And now it's hard to distinguish who is who. So now I see an American flag and it's almost like I just immediately assume that that person is racist. Mm. And it sucks that because of their affiliation to one person and one political party, it has got to that level. Because before, man, I could meet a Republican and we still could have a civil conversation.
Right.
We have opposing views of, you know, who should be leading the country, but we could still be civil enough to have a decent conversation.
Right.
Now, I was driving the other day and this guy had this car was like a three-wheeler. And it wasn't the slingshot. It was another one.
You want the one wheel in front?
Nah, this one had the one wheel in back. This one was that, but it wasn't.
Seems
the,
dangerous.
Yeah, it was. I was asking him. I was about to ask him, was it an automatic or if it was a stick shift? But when he turned to look at me, he had the Trump hat on. I said, never mind. And I just rolled my window up because I just automatically assume that he's a bigot. I automatically assume that he looks at me as lesser than him.
I don't see how you would wear a MAGA hat and still be like really down with BLM or black people in general. I don't see how that would ever Venn diagram cross. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, I don't see that either. I don't ever think they intersect. I think that there are two parallel lines that never intersect because you feel your side is right. And we feel what we're fighting for is right. And what we're fighting for is just equality. Mm-hmm. It's not more than.
It's crazy.
not more than. Not treat us better. Equality.
We're not even asking for anything else.
Yeah, so now.
It's not even like equality plus like government secrets.
So like with that mindset, when I see people driving and they have American flags across their dashboard or they have the sticker on their windshield, or even cops, when I see them, because the cops have it usually American sticker on their bumper or something like that. Not even a Blue Lives Matter, just the American flag sticker. It makes me feel some type of way. Mm. I definitely have more angst when I see it because I don't know. That has been the symbol for Trump for 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And everything that has transpired throughout that 4 years, all the transgressions, all the violence, all the bigotry, now it's hard to distinguish between, is this person a patriot? Do they just love their country? Or do they side with him? And because of that, I'm just like, I'd rather just stick to myself, bro.
That's
and
really
it sucks
point.
That we see, I see that flag, and I know I'm not alone this way. It sucks that I see that flag of the country that I reside in, and I can't even take pride in it because it has been stained with such negativity. It's very saddening. So
that's really crazy. That's a wild like observation that the current flag is giving us the same vibes as the Confederate, because the Confederate flag has been weird. You know what I mean? Because you grew up learning about the history and it kind of represented a really racist time and period in American history. But now it's like our current flag represents like our current time, and it's like. That is very, very true, and it's almost like this has been snowballing forever. But the kneeing from Colin Kaepernick was the one that brought it to a political level, and it's crazy how we saw the signs so early when people flipped out on football players like ah, and then that snowballed into flipping out on Black Lives Matter. It's like, what are y'all really mad at?
You know what's crazy is that we're currently looking for new places to stay, Farron and I, and this is one area that a couple friends of ours stay in, and I like the houses up there. The prices are better because you have to drive further to get into the city. However, the neighborhood is mixed, but it's predominantly white. And I'm almost like, I don't want to move there. I'd rather almost pay more to find something a little closer for the drive. But also, where I'm at right now in Glendale, for the most part, I know Armenians don't really fuck with black people. I know that, right? There are some that are cool, that get it, they understand. But there are a lot of Armenians who are just like, they're from the old country and they just have their ways. And it ain't just black people. They don't really fuck with anybody.
Right.
They fuck with white people because they have to do business sometimes. But they look down upon us, right? And I know that. And at least I know the faces of the people that don't really rock with me like that. No, they don't hide it. They don't try to mislead me with it. They don't try to, you know, cover shit with sugar, for lack of better words. I know it. And I would rather know the face of those that are going to, you know, oppose of all my views and all of that than move to a neighborhood and people have people smile in my face and pretend like we're cool, but then when shit gets down to the nitty gritty, they're not gonna be in support of what mm-hmm. I believe in, which is just as a reminder, equality.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So it's like I would rather like stay with the devil I know than move to one that I don't. You know what I mean? Like,
so wait, are you staying in the Armenian neighborhood then?
I might just stay in Glendale because it's like, at least I know going into what I'm dealing with. I know that, you know.
What do you mean by you know? Like they just frown at you all the time or what?
No, you just like Armenians just really don't fuck with nobody outside of Armenia. Like if you go to Glendale, like most of the businesses are there. When everything was going on this year with BLM, there were no BLM flags flying unless it was a black family's house. Like you saw a couple things like, you know, in people's yards and stuff like that. But when the Armenian genocide and everything was going on with them, which makes sense, flags everywhere. I'm talking about at the 7-Eleven. Now this 7-Eleven that I frequent all the time, it's not owned by Armenians. You know what I'm saying? But because they're in the midst of this community, they're flying that flag high. You know, hey, you come in here, we welcome you, we sympathize with you. I saw none of that.
Yeah.
I saw none of that for the BLM movement.
But there's a difference between not going out and getting a sign, which is, if you're not a part of it, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a BLM sign. But that is very, very different than like opposing it or walking up to somebody's yard and tearing one down and being like,
that's true.
FBLM, you know what I mean? But it's like, they may not have like outwardly said it, but that doesn't necessarily mean like it's there's like levels to it, you know what I mean? Like I agree with what you're saying. It's like you'd rather just be in where you sort of know where it's at, where it's just like, no, I'm not really part of that movement, as opposed to like, yeah, we love it, we, you know, we support, and it's not really like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Not only is it not really like that, but it's actually the opposite of that when it comes down to it. Are you going to be my ally and stand shoulder to shoulder with me while we're out there marching and protesting for the right to live, for the right to exist, for the right of fair treatment and equality? Mm-hmm. That's what it really comes down to. Like, don't be an ally when it's convenient behind a computer. Right. Be an ally when we really got to get out there in the street. So
yeah.
I know Armenians ain't going to do that.
Yeah.
I know they ain't. You know what I'm saying? So, like, at least I know what I'm dealing with. You know, so I know the disrespect that I'm going to have to, like, engage with, and I know how to react with that. But like when you move into a new community, you think everybody is like all hunky-dory and everybody is all cool and you hee-heeing and kiki-ing all in the morning while you're grabbing your paper, and then some shit like this happens again, right? And you're having a conversation, and then the first thing they say, well, all he had to do was comply. Wait a minute, motherfucker. For him to have complied and not get shot, he would have had to change his skin color. And
I hate those comments.
I've yet to see a motherfucker that can comply that well. That they can turn from black to white.
That's a chameleon. Like, what the hell? Like, yeah, I hate those are the worst comments. Like, should have complied. Shouldn't have resisted. Shouldn't have ran. Shouldn't have moved. Like, more than likely, somebody who has never been in that situation is saying that.
Absolutely, so. They haven't. They don't get it. You know what, man? And I hate to harp on it, and I'm not gonna harp on it because it's like it's not. This isn't the place for it right now. It's good to have these conversations. I'm glad that we have a platform that we can have the dialogue with. But it is exhausting, you know, at times, and so exhausting. It's like, man, talking about it takes a lot out of you. And I just got up. We got a full day of stuff. And if we keep this up, I'm going to have to go take a nap, okay? And I'm not close enough to my bed because I ain't taking a nap on anything except for my purple mattress, okay? And if I can't do it on that, then the nap won't be had, all right? Purple is improving the way we sleep with that patent technology. The Purple Grid is it's the only comfort innovation that provides total pressure relief, absolute airflow, and the ergonomic support. That's because the grid's open air channels adapt to your natural shape while neutralizing body heat, so you stay comfortable and cool all night long. All right. Now, I have the mattress now. We just got the mattress. I already have
the pillow.
Yeah, man. I
eat.
Dang. Got to treat yourself a little bit, Pat. We out here working hard, man. You know what I'm saying? This is proprietary technology. Mm-hmm. I needed that. All right. The Purple Grid is the only technology that instantly adapts. You gonna adapt when I do all of this? You already there? That's how I snuggle up.
That sounds horrifying.
But yeah, man, I'm all about it. Every Purple product ships free and is delivered right to your door. If you're not completely satisfied, you can return your product for a full refund. Purple is so confident in what they do, every product comes with a risk-free trial. And Purple has finances available as low as zero APR. For qualified customers, monthly payments are easy, on your budget, and there are no hidden fees, okay?
Mm-hmm. I understand that risk-free trial, though, because there's no way. The purple, that grid thing, whatever that honeycomb technology is, like, we don't understand it, mm-hmm. but I get it. Like, that is the most comfortable material. It's like when after spring mattresses mm-hmm. were a thing and then Tempur-Pedic came out. Nobody really knew what that meant. But yeah. after you felt one, it was like Tempur-Pedic. This grid is it. It's like what it's what the Jetsons sleep on. It's amazing.
Well, listen, I told y'all when I first got the purple pillow, Farron took it. She was like, this is mine now. Never. I got to use it one night. Mm-mm. One night. And then she took it. So I knew it was the real deal. So I grabbed me one. And now we on the mattress too. So 10% off of any order over $200 or more.
Okay.
Go ahead. Get a part of this, man. Be a part of this whole purple movement right now.
Nice.
You can try purple risk-free, like I said. If you already know this is something that you need in your life, go to purple.com/DIYS10. Use the promo code DIYS10, and for a limited time, you'll get 10% off of any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/DIYS10, and use the promo code DIYS10 for 10% off any order over $200 or more, okay? Get your sleep on.
I got to get the mattress.
Get your sleep on.
I got to get the mattress.
Hey, man.
Well, Purple switched it up on the game, introducing the grid. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so did Capitol Police. It's pretty funny because the former chief, Stephen Sund, announced on Thursday that after the Wednesday riot, he turned in his resignation and had plans to be done on the 16th, which is funny. He was like, oh, I'm leaving anyway. But the Capitol has already found his replacement, Assistant Chief Yogananda Pittman.
Wow.
Black woman is the new acting chief. All that happened and they done went and got a sister.
Right.
And once she settles in, I would like to see security. I feel like nobody's getting in. I feel like nobody's getting in.
She's going to spend a whole month on telling people, on teaching them how to say ah, right. Like it's a proper way. Ah, 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 ah.
Hilarious.
Ah.
Oh, they done locked it down. Super dope. She said she'll be leaving her role as Assistant Chief for Protective and Intelligence Operations
mm-hmm.
To be the acting chief. The level up is real. Apparently, she joined in 2001, moved through the ranks fast, and it says Pittman was one of the first African-American female supervisors to attain the rank of captain.
Wow.
I'm trying to see the new lockdown measures. This is like no nonsense.
Oh yeah, that smile is beautiful. She has a beautiful smile, but I tell you, when that smile fades, it's a lot of who you talking to.
She'll talk to you through her
oh,
teeth.
Oh yeah, who you talking to?
Through the
to?
Teeth.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-mm. That's how you know it's real. She hit you with the who you talk in the middle of a press conference and go right back. So as I was saying, I believe mm-hmm. that if we start to implement these changes, keep playing with me.
The Trumpies, they got their. They got an easy one off of Stephen Sund, but I would like to think that shit is over.
Yeah.
So shout out to that. That's super, super dope. Miss Pittman. Captain Pittman.
Let's go.
Other than that, I think that the only two stories worth talking about is the fact that the rioter Richard Barnett, who was seen with his feet up in mm-hmm. the desk, he's now claiming that he was pushed in.
He wasn't pushed down, and his feet wasn't pushed on that desk. He did all of that free will. He did all of that free will. Everybody's backtracking now. You know, everybody's backtracking now. Mm-hmm. Like the one guy, he was the CEO of a marketing company, and now he's saying storming the Capitol was one of the worst decisions of his life. And it's like, oh. Now it is.
Well, you could tell that they didn't really understand how illegal what they were doing was terrorism. But yeah. You can tell by their interviews afterwards when nobody like, what you talking about? I wasn't in there. I wouldn't do that. It was always just like we went in through there, and we were breaking stuff, and I grabbed this thing and I took a picture. It's just like they were so proud of it, and then they got them charges, mm-hmm. and now they started it. I came to peacefully protest. They maced me. I didn't break in. I got pushed in. Then he said he had Nancy Pelosi's mail. He was like, but I paid a quarter for this. I left a quarter. I'm not a thief. It had my blood on it. Cool, man. But not only that, one of the people who stormed in discovers he's on the no-fly list.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that. And had a...
I love it. I love to see it. It's called Just Do. You got your Just Do. I love to see it. Brad Ruckstales, the CEO of a Chicago-based tech company, Cogentia, claimed attending the Capitol riot was the worst personal decision of his life. Brad, guess what? Don't nobody give a fuck. You made that conscious decision. This happened in D.C. You are in Chicago. You made the trip.
He flew there for it?
He had to. He's the CEO. It's a Chicago-based company. Yes. You had to, Brad. You knew what the fuck you was doing. You know what the fuck you was doing. Ain't there nobody feeling sorry for you or your family. You put your family in that situation. You caused your family to be on a no-fly list. You caused your family to have to figure out what they're going to do because the job is going to, they're going to sever ties from you. They can't be tied to you. You're a domestic terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
They can't have you up in there in the face of the company. Oh, Brad, here's your severance pay. Woo, woo, woo.
Ah, the tears. The tears.
They're delicious. They go great with coffee.
Oh my God. I just remember all the frustration that we were dealing with last year and all the people who were like, should have done this.
Here's the thing. I don't think they should just get fired. I really think they should. A lot of people are having legal charges brought up against them. Oh, and I think that is absolutely appropriate.
If you don't go to jail
for
storming the Capitol building in a instance where people died,
mm-hmm.
that, I mean,
we need to see hundreds of arrests. Because if the FBI is taking part in this, they have facial recognizable equipment and data and programs, give them tapes to them, mm-hmm. get as many people, round them up. Ain't that what Chop said? They was yelling at, string them up, mm-hmm. round them up, string them up. Yeah, let's get all of them, all the little banter and all the little chanter. Let's get them. Let's put them all in court together. Censor someone. This is a racketeer stick. Let's put them all together. Mm-hmm. Charge them like y'all did Bobby Smurder. Charge them like y'all did Treyway.
For real. It's crazy. Like, obviously, we're used to seeing some bullshit and unfair treatment, but this was like on the police side, we saw clear black and white. We saw mm-hmm. what they did to us. We saw what they did to them. But now it's like, okay, we've been seeing on the law side what they do to us, what they do to them. Now this is on a terrorism level. Like, mm-hmm. like we did not do, we may have stormed a Target. But this is supposed to be one of the most secure places in our entire country. If there aren't crazy charges come, then it's like even on a terrorist level,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't even think we'd be all that surprised, but it'd still be like, fam, at least you guys see it now. It's funny that it's like we've been seeing it, but in the past few years, it's like now everyone's seeing it and everybody, like even the white people are appalled. Like we are appalling. Y'all are appalling white people.
They're calling them niggas. Look at these wiggers. Look at these wiggers out here doing.
Listen, y'all are smearing shit on the walls.
Capitol rioters could face up to 10 years in prison under Trump's monumental executive order. Now, if you guys remember.
Under Trump's law.
This is Trump's law.
Hilarious.
Because when they were pulling down the statues and he got mad and all of these Confederate statues that were racist as fuck and should have been down, he enacted this law. This is an executive order authorizing up to 10 years in prison for injury of federal property. Well, they bust some windows up. They That's broke hilarious. Some glass. They destroyed some desks. They
pooped.
Took some podiums. They smeared feces all over walls.
Poop.
That sounds like you are entering federal property.
He's so, like, but I didn't mean that for people who like me.
Start handing out some sentences like a teacher, okay?
Trump is like, I did not think that was going to work on white people. I meant I was talking about BLM specific.
Look at this. Look what they did right here. We're gonna figure out how to put this picture on here. Look at these desks flip. They're thugs.
Thuggeries.
Thug. They should have Thug Life tatted on their stomach.
Terrorists.
They rolled up there listening to the country verses of Tupac Hit 'Em Up, and they were convinced and they were motivated to cause destruction.
They didn't even do it in a badass way. They didn't storm nothing. They asked people to let them in. Cops were moving barricades. It was just like. It was the privilege in it. Y'all didn't even really get your hands dirty like that.
Mm-hmm.
You guys just walked in a federal building and knocked some stuff over. Like, this could have at least been cooler. That's weird to say.
There's a video going viral right now of a white guy who made so many great points. He was like, I'm sick of it. He got the hat on. Everybody's been reposted. I think Dierra posted it in a couple other pages. But he was like, what are y'all protesting? The world is already your oyster. You already get everything you want. It's catered to you via all the entertainment, from actors to music, award shows. What more do you want?
That must be boring.
What are you protesting?
They need to shake things up. You know what I think it is? You know how like a trend comes out, like the mannequin challenge, and like black people and like young people have fun with it for a second, and then like white people start doing it, and then you kind of see it, and you're like.
Well, that's not fun no more.
I feel like that's what happened with these protests. Like, they saw us protested, and there was, the pictures and the revolution and people standing on cops. We want to do that. And then they did it, and it wasn't cool.
No.
They were let in. They were helped doing it. It wasn't just like, y'all smeared poop. Like, it was
chaos.
It just felt like another copy.
It wasn't organized chaos.
Is whack.
It's like y'all are not oppressed. What are you doing? Nobody stole an election. No one is killing you in record numbers for traffic stops. No one is killing you in your house while you sleep. None of this.
Mm-hmm.
What are you oppressed by? I'm baffled. I don't know why you let it. We're going to teach them a lesson that this is our country. This is everybody that live in your country. What are you talking about? You don't have no ownership. You don't have no deeds to the United States. What are you?
Said they needed seasoning on their protest. Hilarious.
Oh, that's occasion. Funny.
That is. Bad. Their protest had raisins in it. I do like that. That is very funny.
That is great.
That's really what it is. Like, that protest was just whack.
Yeah.
Like, the only good pictures were also embarrassing.
Oh,
like,
my
BLM
God.
BLM has fire photography.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Even novices were out there taking shots, making them black and white. It was like, man, yes, history books.
Yeah.
This was just, like, people climbing, falling. Oh, the memes.
The chants were horrible. Y'all were off time. Came by morning, right? You saw the black dude that was in FBLM. And his haircut?
What is happening?
Who is he, Blade? What's with this haircut, buddy?
How does a black person say fuck Black Lives Matter? That is twisted.
I mean, I just don't even understand, man.
I want to hear the explanation for it. It's probably just like, no, it's about everybody, man. It's not about. But even if you feel like it's about everybody, saying fuck Black Lives Matter does seem a little specific, doesn't it?
This whole situation is stressful. Like, that's why I say it's stressful, it's exhausting. I have to take time away from it because I will literally pull my hair out trying to figure out how this even makes sense. And I can't afford to. I'm getting at that age where, it could happen on its own. I mean, we already talked about it. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. So I can't take any risks right now. So just to be safe, actually, I'm going to go online right now, and I'm just going to order me some Keeps right now. Because the best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have it. And guys, we hold so much of our identity wrapped up in our hair. From how it feels after we get a fresh cut to having it perfectly styled, or me, I got the sponge thing and I got the glove thing, and my hair is like my mane, like it's like my crown. So when we're in our 20s and our 30s, we start noticing that the hairline it ain't as close up to the eyebrows as it used to be. You know what I'm saying? And that's typically one of the first signs of hair loss. So If it definitely feels like it's panic time, then you definitely need to check out the good people over at Keeps, okay? Mm-hmm. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for a hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months, so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits, okay? Keeps offers generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but you've never tried them at this price. And again, prevention is key. Keeps treatment typically take between 4 and 6 months, not weeks, not days, 4 to 6 months to see results. So it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. So find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and more than 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication.
That's a lot of people.
Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
$10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month for free. So, right now, go to Keeps, that's KEEPS.com/DIYS to receive your first month of treatment for free. Again, that's Keeps, KEEPS.com/DIYS, and you will get your first month of treatment completely for free. Don't waste any time, fellas. All right, don't wait till you're sitting in the barber chair and your barber puts the cape on you and he looks at you like,
cape.
So what you want me to try to do today?
Oh,
don't get to that point, okay?
Ah, that must suck.
Because ain't no coming back from it. When your barber's being that real with you, that means that your girl noticed it months ago, okay? She just didn't want to hurt your feelings. Don't
what am
get
I supposed to do
point.
With this?
What you want me to try to do with this today?
Yeah, that sucks.
Just go ahead and hit up Keeps right now, man, and you won't be disappointed. KEEPS.com/DIYS and get your first month of treatment for the freezy.
Love it. I feel bad for all the people who like just went bald and accepted it. And then Keeps dropped. And you're just like, fam, what? Born in the wrong era.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We were born in the right one. Well, speaking of Keeps, this is... There's something very, very special.
Oh.
There's something very, very special about motherly... How do I just motherly love?
Uh-huh.
But none is more special than the motherly love of a black mother. They are pretty much willing to do whatever they need to do to keep their family together. This video, we'll put it up for you, just went viral. And it's so amazing for a couple reasons. So this black mother with her son pulled up on this house. I'm assuming her son's being bullied. And you always hear about people like, if that were my son, I'd yada, yada, yada. If that were my mom, if that were my kid, I'd yada, yada, yada. This is the epitome of that energy. If that were my kid, I would blank. She lives it. Let's just give it a watch.
Yo,
so pretty much this is a Ring camera video of a woman who brought her son ready to fight the parent and the kid.
You and your kid come out here so you can catch these hands.
Both of you guys. I don't know what happened at school. But she soon realized that it was the wrong house. And you could tell she was so ready to fight. He said it a couple times. He said, actually, that's not my wrong kid. Come outside. This is the wrong kid.
My son's name is Caden.
I'm not going to go back and forth with you. And then the best part is on the way out, he said, "You have a blessed day. You got a package, bro." Yeah,
The saving face. You got a package right here. I'm gonna put it a little closer to the door so you ain't even got to step outside to get it. It's right here by your door. I feel like this happens a lot for this little boy because he was like, "I've been trying to tell you this whole time.
You got yourself.
We at the wrong house. You got me at the wrong damn house. You got yourself at the wrong house." This is gonna be a kid that's gonna start calling his mother by her first name when he turns 16. He's like, "Janet, listen, you do this every time you get a little liquor in you, Janet."
Oh, she was ready. I love the readiness, and then the walk off. You got me at the wrong damn house. Like he might have got a little bit of the residual hands.
Yeah. He said, "I've been trying to tell you this whole time. This whole time I've been trying to tell you."
It was so perfectly done. I almost feel like it could be a skit.
Yeah, I thought that too.
The girl, the kid was just so great. He's like, "I've been trying to tell you." But if so, it is just some of the most authentic acting I've seen in a very long time.
You got a package out here, sealed the deal.
Oh, man.
It was already funny, but that right there is the... Mwah. That's the French kiss right there. French chef kiss right there.
So good.
Oh, my goodness. She did snatch him up like it was his fault, Lazy Cajun. That was all you, baby girl. That was all you. He been trying to tell you. She probably pulled out, hopped out the car. He's like, "Mom, the house right here." No, come on. Get out the car because we finna finish this right now. Like,
I love it so much. Woo, that's such a funny story to me. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, in other news, we have some weird tattoos, right? You and I get made fun of for our tattoos. This is a new tattoo trend that I'm not 100% sure I'm jumping on board with. This is going on in Belgium. These are roof of the mouth tattoos.
It's no for me, dog.
That looks like it hurts.
First of all, you gotta sit with your mouth open, the entire time.
Oh yeah, right.
I didn't know the needles were that long that they could reach inside your mouth to do that. But also, like, that means that the vibration is on your lip and your teeth
or going all the way up your head.
That's a no for me, big dog.
Oh, you're gonna think about that vibration. It's gonna go all through your head, and it's so dumb because it's like, what situation do you have to be in to even see these? You know how like the lip ones, like, "Yo, I have this."
Yeah.
And they like literally just show you. It's like, "Wait, look up my mouth and at my teeth." And it's like, I kind of don't want to do that.
Yeah. Not only that, like, that typically you do stuff like that at bars and clubs and stuff like that. Number one, ain't nobody going to no bars or club right now. All right. Mm-hmm. So you're just doing it in vain. Number two, when the world opens back up, most bars and clubs, they're dimly lit, right? It's darker than that. You got black. Now you're like, "Hold on, let me put the..."
You have to gargle.
Yeah, I'm gonna put this light up. You see the light up? You see it? No.
And then they get a waft of that breath.
Right.
And you're looking around.
You. Why are you showing the inside of your mouth to me?
That is a really, really bad idea.
I don't know.
People are weird.
It's a different time and age, man. I just don't. Listen, I'm not going to knock it just because I don't understand it. I'm just going to be like, I don't see the need for it.
People are weird.
But, I mean, I'm sure people who first got ear piercings didn't see the need for eyebrow, lip, nose, all of that type of stuff.
Nah.
You know, I try to do things that, you know what, I can't even say that. I was going to say that makes sense, but it makes sense to me. It makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. There's somebody that, like, understands that, and maybe it's like a society of them. That's how you show your alliance and... your allegiance, I guess. So I don't know, man.
Do seem like some tribal stuff, though. Yeah, low key.
But it's a no for me, my dog.
It seems like Ring could just start a channel.
Oh, they do. Ring has an app. You can literally go on the Ring app and just look at other people's...
uploaded rings?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really smart.
So Brandon put me on that like 2 years ago when we were on tour the first year. And she was like, "Yeah, you just watch other people's rings. If you like, I guess in your neighborhood, if you have a ring or have a ring account, you can just watch other people's rings and stuff like that."
Only in your neighborhood or just anybody who uploads it?
I never did it myself. I was never that interested. But now, after seeing so many of these videos.
Well, I love them because it's technically not an invasion of privacy because it's on your, it's pointing outwards. But... This lady went viral on Ring also. This is a DoorDash driver, and this is just... She just left the order. Some of y'all so bold, man. Here, let me get to the good. So he was basically like, you can leave the food. He's like, I need to speak to you. Okay, so there's, you know, maybe 30 minutes, 30 seconds, a minute more in this.
Didn't she take the food?
Yes, she did. So essentially, she dropped the food off. She felt like, even though it was on the map, she felt like she drove for too long. It was 40 minutes. And he gave her an $8 tip, which I don't want to throw myself out there. It's better than me. That is better than me. Not at restaurants, but when it comes to, like, you know, ordering food, a lot of the time that's not too bad. And she not only kind of like got on his case on through the ring about how long it was. She said, if you would have known how long I was driving, you would have never tipped that. And then she ended up leaving with the food. Where is this at?
Let me tell you something. It sounds like Atlanta, because she said Midtown. And,
okay.
That's typically what they refer to Atlanta. I mean, it's what this area in Atlanta is called Midtown. And given that the place was only 10 to 12 miles, without traffic, it should have been 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But with Atlanta traffic, it could definitely be 40 minutes. So just deducing that, it sounds like Atlanta. Mm-hmm. My thing is that I get it. Like, the same thing with Uber and Lyft. They don't tell you where the person is going until you accept the ride or you accept the order. I get
Oh, really?
That.
Yeah. They don't tell you until you
don't
accept
know
it?
Until
they,
yep.
You okay.
Don't know until. However, it's like, it's kind of one of those things that you sign up for. It's that's what you signed up for. Like, and I get it. Like, some people are horrible tippers. Like, I think I'm always doing Postmates. So Postmates automatically is just on 25%. If you want to, you can drop it down to 20, or you can like adjust it to like a personal tip. Like, you get to decide what it is. So I just always tip 25% because one, convenience. Two, I didn't have to do it. Three, if the order's right, perfect, right? Last time I ordered some in Vegas, I told you guys about that. The guy drove off with 6 sandwiches. Yep. I found like he's like, I ain't giving you. And this was before I had even tipped. I guess he just had predetermined that I was going to tip him crappy. And I didn't. I tipped 25%.
Damn.
But it's one of those things you sign up for. And now it's becoming like even more of a double-edged sword. It's one of those things we sign up for. We're going to have to deal with crazy people, you know, trying to take our food because they want a bigger tip or just not giving us all our food. And it sucks that it is this way. But it's like, bro, like, I don't even know at this point. At this point, it's like, you know, I mean, granted, this month we're not doing any Postmates. We're cooking all our food. Mm-hmm. We're working out more. We're doing this whole detox system. And it's been great because I don't have to get the frustration of dealing with stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the people are just upset, bro. Like, the climate of our country right now is just a state of unrest.
Weird.
You know what I'm saying? And I think people don't have any. We're all quarantining. Some people live alone. They don't have anyone to talk to. It is it's very difficult, man. And I think that, you know, I think sometimes people feel like there's something interfering with their happiness or it's preventing them from achieving goals. And I can suggest is maybe trying something like BetterHelp. because they will assess their needs and match them with their own licensed professional therapist. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, they can start communicating in under 48 hours.
Nice.
BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not a self-help line. It is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available to which may not be locally available in many areas. So you have an opportunity to be able to discuss things of different natures, and you might not even have that in your hometown, or it might not be available in your city, or they might be overwhelmed. So this is another way to be able to talk to somebody, mm-hmm. not have to wait 2 or 3 months before someone becomes available for you to be paired with.
Right.
Services are available for clients worldwide, so you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. Nice. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy to and free to change your counselors if needed. I've told mm-hmm. you guys before, I've been in counseling for therapy for over a year and a half now, but my first two therapists, I just didn't click with them. It mm-hmm. wasn't until my third one that I felt a real connection. I felt comfortable opening up and expressing exactly what was bothering me, my mm-hmm. fears, everything. So BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, mm-hmm. okay? Visit BetterHelp and read the testimonials that are posted daily. Visit BetterHelp.com/DIYS. That is BetterHelp, BetterHelp. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Use our special offer. Damn it and that you scary offer. And listeners, you will get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/DIYS. And that'll get you 10% off your first month. Again, go to BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/DIYS and get 10% off your first month.
Don't play about your mental health, guys. There's mm-hmm. a lot of... It's weird. Like, I talk about this all the time. Like, this quarantine is confusing for a lot of people just because it's like we've never been locked in our houses, you know, lockdown city. So it brings up a lot of stuff, you know, mm-hmm. with yourself internally, with the people around you in your house, you know, with your friends. So please do not play with your mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about money.
I love it.
Money.
Love it,
you know the phrase, man, that probably costs an arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that that actually has a price?
Wait, what?
That has a price. In the United States, with you know how you sometimes hear about people getting kidnapped and getting organs and stuff taken away.
Yeah.
It says that on average, an arm and a leg is worth about $323,099 in the U.S.
A piece? Like one arm, one leg?
An arm and a leg.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Okay, okay, all right.
It's kind of messed up. Like, why is it that expensive?
That is a human limb. I mean, they don't just have them laying around, I don't think. So, you know.
But that's wild to think, like, if you ever think you're not worth anything, it's like, man, that's
just aggressive. Know in some markets you can get up to $320,000 for your arm that's and or leg.
I'm worth a cool almost $1 million just with my limbs, right. You know?
Right.
So that's just a weird fact. $323,000 for an arm and a leg in the U.S. Maybe I don't know what the limb fluctuations are in overseas. But somebody who is no stranger to money, Elon Musk. I didn't see how this was possible, but Elon Musk literally just passed Jeff Bezos, the Amazon founder, as the richest person in the world. Elon Musk, you guys probably know him. He is the founder of Tesla. He's the CEO.
SpaceX,
all that stuff. He is now worth $185 billion. What's crazy about that is that last year, he was barely in the top 50. He was worth $27 billion, which is still fine with me.
Right.
but I guess due to last Thursday's increase in Tesla's share price, it pushed Musk past Amazon, who is the richest person since 2017 with $184 billion. In my mind, I'm thinking 2020 is the craziest year for Amazon ever because people are just buying stuff. But I guess Tesla's share price just rocketed, which increased more than ninefold over the past year, and added $150 billion to his net worth.
That's so crazy.
How much is too That's much so for crazy. You? Like, where would you want to cap out, if anywhere?
I'm good with like $150 to $250 million, and that's like. Mm-hmm. That gives me enough money to invest in real estate. That gives me enough money to, you know, have a couple 7-Elevens open. It gives me enough money to, you know, invest in a couple capital ventures and live comfortably for the rest of my life and still be able to help people. Like, I don't need $150 million. Like, I don't need houses on both coasts. I don't need luxury cars. I'm not a huge fan of, like, the luxury car game anyway. Like, I like old schools. So I can buy old school for $10,000 or less and just fix it up because the fun is in fixing it up yourself. So, I don't need all that. That'd just be like the 7-Elevens would be residual income and also a way to employ people in my community. The capital ventures would be able to make sure that I leave money behind for my kid or kids or grandkids, mm-hmm. and also help small businesses and new businesses get off. So, you know, become a capital venture for black businesses, black owned businesses. So yeah, like that would just be able to like continue to thrive and help the community, man. Like I don't need that. I'd be good myself. I'd be good with like, you know, 50 mil. I'm straight with that. And that's paying off my houses, making sure the property tax is taken care of, making sure that the cars are good, family's good, the kid can go to whatever school she wants. And also, she has enough money to buy a house wherever she wants to when she's at that age. Cause mm-hmm. that's one thing we don't really have in our community is, you know, that generational wealth. You know, there are our counterparts when they're of a certain age and they're ready to buy a house, they can get a loan from their parents for $50,000, $75,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I remember reading that article about Donald Trump and he said, my father loaned me the modest sum of $1 million for my first business. Like modest sum of $1 million, bro. Come on, bro. Like, it's so that's
the fact
that's
that he threw in modest was,
you know, yeah. So I'm not doing that.
So you wouldn't want to be in the billionaire club.
I don't need to. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be nice, but that's not my goal.
That's a crazy amount of money.
It is, and I like you got to think about like everything that comes with that, the amount of tension that comes with that, the amount of people that are like trying to finesse it, the amount of people that are looking for a handout, the amount of family members that are going to be asking, and everybody's response when you say no is going to be, why not? You got it. Yes, yeah. I have it. I do have it.
1,000 times over.
Yes, but like, and then the moment you don't give to some organization, or the moment you do something wrong, now you have to give to an organization as an apology. And I never quite understood that, like, you know, giving a monetary amount to show your support of the organization versus just saying it. But I guess, you know, actions prove louder than words. So I guess I do understand that part.
But it seems like it's at some level it's hoarding. It has to be, because like once you reach a certain level, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, if I tried to spend all of this, I couldn't, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you're walking around with a net worth, well, net worth is different because that's like everything that you have combined and stuff. But let's say he had $180 billion just in his bank account. That is kind of crazy because you're literally just walking around with multiple countries.
Yeah.
Like just in your bank account has the solution to helping multiple countries or like thousands, hundreds and thousands of people, probably millions and millions of people. Mm-hmm. And it's just like at some price, and I don't know what it is, maybe a billion, mm-hmm. you can't spend everything if you tried. Like I think there I saw some like interesting like word problems about it. Like if you had $1 billion, you would have to spend X amount every single 3 seconds, blah, 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 blah. Like yeah. they really like break it down to like how much money that actually is. So it seems like once you reach a certain like level, it's just like it's kind of like hoarding.
I mean, it is depending on what you're doing. Like if I had $185 billion. You best believe, as many as I could, I'm making a ton of HBCUs D1. I'm making sure that their endowment is straight. They ain't never got to worry, because the HBCUs don't get the same type of funding traditional
university. The first thing you college. Do?
That's not one of the first things. But if I got that type of money and my business is a set, okay, mm-hmm. cool. Let's start investing back in the community. Let's make sure these HBCUs don't keep getting overlooked because of these PWIs and all of these kids want to go to these traditional colleges and universities because they're all D1. What do we need to do to make sure that these HBCUs are now considered D1? Is it the funding? Is it the campuses? What do they need so we can make sure that when it comes time for people to think about college, they want to go here first, mm-hmm. right? And I know a lot of people are like, oh, you're making it a race thing. I'm not just making it a race thing. This is a real thing. We're overlooked in a lot of areas, mm-hmm. so I'm trying to balance the scheme. And you got to understand that, like, these are marginalized communities and businesses that mm-hmm. are often overlooked, that don't get the same type of handouts, that don't get the same type of nods. Mm-hmm. Somebody should. No one else is going to do it. You think Jeff Bezos is going to donate $100 million to HBCUs? No. You think Elon Musk, even though he is from Africa originally, you think he's going to do it? No. Mm-mm. So, yeah, somebody has to do it. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be on. I'm going to be all about that. So, absolutely. And it's not about, because Kev made a video, some chick said something about him not employing enough black people with the app and stuff like that. And he made a comment about, you know, he's helping people in marginalized communities. And then somebody in that comment, I mean, in that response video was like, oh, well, black people aren't the only people in marginalized neighborhoods and communities. We get that. And we're not overlooking and we're not disputing that white people have marginalized communities, and you know they come from low income communities as well. However, there is a unsettling amount of white people that don't. We make up 13%. Black people make up 13% of the United States. Okay, so you think about that, and you think about the amount of black people that don't get brought on set, that aren't on front of the camera, that aren't in behind the camera, behind the lens. Mm-hmm. Like, we're trying to balance that. And no one else is doing that actively. Well, I won't say that. There aren't a lot of companies mm-hmm. in the industry and, like, everywhere that are trying to do that. I applaud Nike for always being, like, kind of a forefront leader when it comes to equality and standing up for stuff, because they're one of those big brands where we typically don't expect to see it from big brands. So I applaud Nike for doing that. But yeah, if I had $150-180 billion, I'm absolutely doing that. Absolutely doing it. So say what you want.
Good little plan.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying is, like, you kind of have to, after a certain level, you kind of have to turn around and figure out, like, how can I like better the world around me with mm-hmm. this stuff, because I physically can't spend it. So it's like, unless I just spend it just so I can see if I could spend it all. Like, I'm gonna buy a yacht and then a mansion and another mansion and I'm gonna put my boys in all these things, blah, 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 blah. Like, mm-hmm. that stuff is cool, but like, if you have that type of money, you still have, that was, everything I named was probably less than 1 billion.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just like a crazy amount of, I mean, that's low key being a superhero or a supervillain.
Yeah.
Since we don't have the access to powers, it's really just money. So if you have $100-something billion, you are either a hero or a villain.
Yeah.
And that's really the only option.
And shout out to Nikki Marie, because she just put me on the game. I did not know this. But Mackenzie,
I did hear about
Scott,
that.
Ex-wife of Jeff Bezos, donated millions from her settlement to Maryland and Virginia HBCU. So I very much applaud her for that, because that's she did dope. Not have to do that.
Did she go to one? Like, that's also random.
I don't think she went to one. I think she just understands that there's a need for it. You know, like, people should know this, and people do know it, but they don't do anything. But, yeah, this is the fifth donation in 2020 Scott has made to an HBCU. On Tuesday, she made a sizable donation of $25 million to Bowie State University. That's amazing.
That's crazy.
Which is the largest donation in the university's history. Which is crazy. That's the largest donation in the university's
25 mil.
But let me tell y'all, UCLA's endowment. This is gonna blow y'all mind. UCLA's endowment, which is the money they have in reserve for operating expense right now, is $5.39 billion.
What does that mean? That's the bank that they have?
That's from people like their alumni donating money, people donating money to the university.
Why are people still donating?
Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine donating an entire music hall to UCLA. All that. This is what HBCUs are competing against. Their endowment
$6 billion?
Their endowment is more than all the HBCUs combined endowment. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what we're competing against.
Stanford is $30 billion.
USC, $5.73 billion.
What?
Yes.
So this Stanford is sitting on $30 billion.
This is why I'm so passionate about it, because I feel like I learned a lot from my HBCUs, not just education wise, but the context that I got for life. So,
what? I don't get it. Why are people giving them so much money?
Status
for what?
I don't know, bro.
What is that for?
It's to keep them going, to keep them prestigious, to keep them elite. You know,
so that number is what all the staff gets paid, all the maintenance, all the everything. That's just like what all it costs to run it.
Yeah. And Kiyomi says Stanford is still charging full price tuition during the pandemic. Way to go, man.
What? Why do they have a tuition?
Way to be dickheads even when the cards are low.
Why do they have a tuition? I don't get it.
Bro, it's just... You know,
I really don't get it. If you're sitting on $30 billion, you could just educate people,
bro. This is what we fight for. This is what we should be fighting for.
Wow.
This is how we keep the dollar in our own community, by reinvesting in our community, by making sure people go to these HBCUs, become alumni, become paying alumni, make sure that we suggest that our kids and family members go to HBCUs, man. Damn. Bring the awareness to this type of stuff, because, man, listen.
I don't even know what to do with that information. Like, that's mind-blowing. $30 billion for a school that's already charging too much?
Someone said the endowment is restricted in use to what the donor says. But that's only when that donor donates that much, right? Like, I think other people that donate money are when they get it from the alumni and stuff like that. I think that you can use that as they see fit, but I think there are certain ramifications on certain donations. But I don't know, man. Like, it's crazy.
That is insanity. I got nothing for that.
Yeah, man.
I have nothing for that.
It's crazy.
Well, that is the difference. You said $25 million was
the largest. The largest that HBCU had received ever in the university's
Well, that was history. A single donation.
That was a single donation.
I wonder what their endowment is.
Let me see if I still have it up. Let me see. So that was Bowie State. Let me see Bowie State University's endowment. And just look it up real quick.
That's for sure HBCU, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Endowment. $33 million now. So you got to imagine, if that $33 million now, she donated $25 million. They were $8 million before. And that's one. Boise State is one of the bigger ones. That's one of the bigger ones. I'm gonna look up my.
That's crazy.
My university, which is a very, very small university, and I can't wait to get up there and. I don't even think they...
It's not even public?
It's not even public.
Look up Cal State Northridge. It's going to be $17.
$130 million for Cal State.
And it's crazy because it's like, that's literally the gap between what black people grow up seeing as rich and what white people grow up seeing as rich. Like, yeah. $130 million to us growing up was like, and it still is, ooh, but it's still
right,
like,
right?
Fam, but what we are going up against UCLA? Is a dinosaur.
Stanford?
A dinosaur. UCLA was $5 billion?
Damn near six. Man. Yeah, no, it's 5.39. So the 5 billion and USC I think was 6 billion. It was like 5.79. And Stanford was what? What was Stanford? 30 billion?
There's so many layers to this shit. Bro. That's crazy.
Bro, it's
woo, and that is education. When people say that college is the biggest lick in America, I was thinking from student to college, which it still is, but there's so many layers to this. This that is crazy.
Yeah, man. It is yeah. I'm still tripping off how mine isn't even up here.
Like, they're just like, did you mean
I type what I meant? Google. We got nothing
Stanford?
For you.
If anybody knows what the endowment for Harry Stowe State University.
Harry Stowe State University mission is to provide an outstanding $100,000 endowment, which provides $1,000.
$100,000?
It says, right now, Harry Stowe State University has an endowment valued at nearly $1.35 million.
Okay.
So $1.3 million is my university's endowment. But that was in 2017.
That only sounded good after the $100,000, though. So.
Yeah. So.
Oof. That's insane. Yep.
Well.
Check your schools. Check your local HBCUs.
Become active alumni.
Then check them.
Because it's not always about money, too. If you don't have the money, you can volunteer. Mm-hmm. The more you volunteer, the less time, the less money they have to spend on people, on staff and stuff like that. So go back. Help university. I know Hippie Goes, she was telling me that she had organized like a run, like a marathon for her university. She went back and did that. It's tons of things that you could do. Go back and be active. I'm always trying to see how I can help. If you need me to promote something, I'm doing videos for HBCUs. I'm at their disposal because I understand how big that gap is, and I'm trying to do everything I can to try to help balance it out.
I wonder why that's a noble reason for it, but I wonder why rich people graduate and then turn around and just put so much money into the school. I mean, is it a write-off thing? Is it like a pride thing?
Yeah, part of
like,
it's write-off, part of it's pride, and then also like it keeps those universities elite.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, but listen, guys, we got to get up out of here because we actually have to shoot Squadcast in
that's
like
crazy
10 minutes. So thank y'all for watching, man. As always, I'm To Hear More.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And we'll see you on another episode of Damn, Internet, You Scary.
Later, guys.
Peace.
That messed me up.